In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity. Welcome back to another week of the Catholic Toolbox, the art of practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa, here on 1701 AM, the Voice of Charity Radio Network, and also live on Credio Online Radio. This week we're not live because social isolation.
COVID-19, baby.
COVID-19, there you go. As we equip you with practical solutions to live your Catholic faith in our modern world today, especially on Holy Saturday as we prepare for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are taking you through the journey of the Triduum, and we're reflecting a little bit today on it. It's a special episode for the Triduum Holy Week. And we welcome Peter Sanchez, no other.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome. You're having a blessed week so far?
Yes. Well, so far, so good. You can only do so much, but...
Yeah, indeed.
Everything, you take every day as a blessing, and that's all you got to be thankful for.
Exactly, and today we're here to discuss Easter in light of COVID-19. I mean, it's been very, very different this
week. It's going to be so different. It's like nothing we've ever experienced. Nothing like this generation, at least, has ever experienced. I remember 2 years ago, I was celebrating Easter in Rome, of all the places in the world, and on Good Friday, I remember... looking at the true cross, you know, venerating that cross in St. Peter's Basilica. And this year...
Oh, so you were in St. Peter's with the Pope?
Yeah. Oh, not with the Pope on Friday. It was just like a solemn veneration of the true cross.
Exactly. The relics. Oh, wonderful.
And it happened on Good Friday. And it only happened because we were with a priest who was actually one of the girls who I was on a pilgrimage with. It was her uncle. He's situated in St. Peter's, and everybody knows him, and he can just go around, do his thing. And he took us there on Good Friday, and he did, he was like, today's the only day of the year that I can't actually take you to tomb of St. Peter. And we were like, oh, no, that sucks, but that's okay. But, you know, there's something going on in about 10 minutes, and they're going to bring out the true cross. Nobody knows about it in Rome. And you know,
the relic of the true cross.
Yes. So we got front row seats to that because nobody knew what was going on. They were just like, oh, okay. And then there was a massive
Lucky
procession.
You. Wow.
And then the biggest part of the true cross was revealed to us on Good Friday.
Yeah.
So it was amazing.
Yeah. Lovely.
And then Easter this year, you know, you think of that, like I had to roll out the yoga mat. You know, my exercise mat so we can have somewhere to kneel at home. You know, that's the contrast of what we have this year, which is so...
Not everyone's as lucky to have a kneel at home like me.
No, definitely not like you. Yeah. You're one of a kind.
Yeah, I have a kneeler. I have like almost like a semi-chapel on the side of my
room. I don't
even
know how you got that kneeler. You're just so blessed, which is amazing.
Catholic networks.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get me one.
You get to attend some private masses sometimes, you know, for Holy Week.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, Catholic networks, yeah.
That's true. Well, if you have a purpose, then you can.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm not sure if I have those connections yet. But I'm pretty sure that you've been in some liturgies this Holy Week and you were one of the lucky ones or maybe one of those readers in the church that we look at and we're like...
More of a server. You don't want to hear my reading.
You're a server. Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. And... No, it's been a blessed time. We had Holy Thursday. We did it live at home, made it like a church scene in my room, and participated with St. Patrick's Cathedral Parramatta with live with Bishop Vincent Long.
Yeah.
And we, Good Friday was a blessing, definitely reflecting on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, and how sentimental is it? Just during this whole thing, it's been a phenomenal week. Mm-hmm. I spoke with Robert Martek about Good Friday and the Passion, and we spoke about how coincidental, not so coincidental, but sentimental is it that His Eminence, Cardinal George Pell, was released just this week.
How great is that news, and how timely is it?
Timely. Out of all...
You know, you think about it, there's the 40 days in Lent, and he had 400 days in jail.
400 days, wow.
400 days, and doesn't it just, like, mirror so much, and that parallels so much in the way that we... I don't know that we can see things, and
yeah,
what a blessing definitely. It is to have the Cardinal, you know, out. And I know he's in Sydney somewhere.
Yeah, so. I think the media saw him on the news.
I know they were tracking where he was going. He stopped around Goulburn.
I mean, he was just filling up fuel, and then he's like, "Oh, better before you got here." Cardinal George, good old Cardinal George. Yeah. He's a what phenomenal a character. It's a blessing, definitely in disguise. Absolutely. Now, I think what this would do would open a can of worms for the Victorian police who unjustly condemned him.
Mm. I mean,
condemned. Bishop, I say it, condemned.
Archbishop Anthony Fisher was saying on the Good Friday Stations of the Cross in the morning, join in via YouTube with our kneeling mat, with our yoga mat to kneel on.
You ought to get you ought to get a pillow.
Pillow.
Yeah, so you can do is... A pillow would be a better idea. You put a pillow on a hard surface.
Yeah.
And, a pillow. Well, put it on the mat. That way it takes less load off the...
That could work. Yeah. Especially for parents who have weaker knees compared to me.
Yeah.
But maybe, yeah. We'll take that.
Well, they don't have to kneel if they don't. Yeah.
But what Archbishop Anthony Fisher was saying, how he paralleled it to how our Lord was condemned unfairly. The justice system did not do him any favors.
Yeah, and it's definitely.
The same situation that Cardinal Pell went through. She's actually like, and when he was actually saying a lot of the things about the justice system, all I could think about was Cardinal Pell.
Exactly. That's all I could think about.
I was like, whoa.
I mean, it's just so phenomenal. I mean, the fact that, I mean, we can just look at the Triduum, Holy Week, in light of Cardinal Pell's whole story. It's as if we're reliving another passion.
The poor Cardinal, like he exits isolation and goes into another isolation where the whole world is isolated and it's not just him anymore.
Exactly. So it's sort of like...
And now it's like, it's our turn.
It's our turn, definitely. I mean, we spoke a little bit about with Father Rizzo a couple of weeks ago, very importantly, could this have been the wrath of Almighty God? Is God trying to tell us something during this time that, you know, look at the legislation for abortion, euthanasia, homosexual marriage, and just look at all these things that have been happening over the past 2 years.
Yeah.
We've been going through as a nation, as a world, and look how unfairly Cardinal Pell was treated.
That's right.
And look at how much loss of faith in Rome just alone there was, and how much in the United States. Look at the places that got hit hard.
Mm.
We're not trying... It's up to every person's view to discern these things, but I don't know. I just put it out there to our listeners that these things may not be a coincidence. God may be trying to speak to us that he's trying to purify us, and we need to do more penance, and he's forcing us into penance through isolation. And in some good is coming out of it. And I'm excited about this. Apart from the health concerns, we all have to stay safe. And the disclaimer is, for our listeners, is that they need to take precaution, wash your hands, isolate, and stay home. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And, you know, there is another thing that Archbishop Anthony Fisher did say that you brought to my mind when you were just saying that statement. And basically what he said is that, you know, we live in a technological age where we feel like humans, we can just overcome anything and everything. And right now, this whole pandemic has just stopped all of our productivity outside. Our leisure time has been affected. For me, that's been my big thing. Thankfully, my health has been okay.
Yep.
But the whole situation that, oh, I can't even go out and hang out with friends now that I've got all this spare time. And it's going to drive you kind of crazy. And I get
that. Exactly, yeah. Well, it depends on your attitude, I think.
That's true. It does. Yeah. But it's not
the same. People are loving it. Some people love it. I don't mind it. I don't mind staying home.
Nobodies love it. I don't mind staying at home.
I have plenty of work to do.
Yeah. No, but it can be difficult to not have, you know, because you can work from home. From working from home, I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, definitely.
I've had to do that. Now, it's the whole, I can't even leave my house and like go for a meal and sit down somewhere and just enjoy that.
Yeah. And you have to sit in the car, and even then there's a concern here in the state of New South Wales.
Yeah, and then even then they might track you down because your house is too far from where
you're. Do you know what I saw this morning?
What?
I saw a guy staying watching YouTube on the road, and while I was driving, all I see from there was that he started jumping and jogging, spot started jogging,
started doing exercise,
spot jogging while he's still looking at his,
yeah, I know, and that's it was just phenomenal. You know, a guy got fined the other day for eating a kebab, and I'm like, are you serious?
The kebab is worth it.
Yeah, it is worth it, but you'd have to pay like $1,015 instead of just $15 for your meal.
Exactly. Like, that was an expensive kebab, definitely.
Oh, wow. That's fine dining for you, hey?
Yeah, definitely. So what we need to ensure is that we approach it, we come out of it stronger. I mean, it's not a time to just sit down on Netflix, sleep, and pretty much just do your work and just chill out. It's a time to really make the opportunity of a crisis and turn it into something good. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ yesterday. He died on the cross. He made this opportunity, which was going to be a tough one, of dying on the cross. And look at the good that came out of it. It's all about, Christianity is about redemptive suffering. We always speak about redemptive suffering, that no suffering, no challenge, and even challenge. It extends to challenges and trials. No trial is too big. And suffering needs to turn. It's like a mechanism, like an engine. It needs to be put into the system and let it come out with something better and to elevate to a better purpose.
Well, look, I think about my favorite thing, which is one of my favorite things, which is diamonds. And how are they created? With pressure. So we got to let the same thing happen to us. You know, we got to come out of this pandemic as diamonds, not as people who have been discouraged, disheartened.
We were bored, you know.
Yeah.
For 3 months, 4 months to 6 months, possibly even.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not 6 months.
You got to come out shining like a diamond.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know what that means for you, but spiritually, mentally, physically, whatever.
Exactly. It's as if there's nothing to do at home. I mean, I hear people all the time, oh, Netflix, this, TV, sleeping in. I mean, it's as if I have so much to do here just on the Catholic
Toolbox. What do you do?
I mean, yeah, just planning episodes and trying to increase our audience and our viewers and working together with them very closely, and also on the Rider Manhood podcast, working together with the other men and liaising with them, looking at ways digitally to actually take it to the next level, because society as we know it now is not going back anymore. The digital presence is very important, and podcasts for the past 12 years have really grown, and now especially, I mean, people don't have time to attend as many talks physically there and then, so that's why it's important that we really make use of the technological era that we're heading into, the Generation I, moving into the future, pretty much. And the gospel has to come with us. We can't just leave the gospel, a traditional way of evangelization in the past that's not going to be relevant to today and tomorrow and in 6 months and a year. In the past 10 years, as I interviewed the world's most successful street food blogger, Anthony Rahael. Anthony Rahael said, in the past 10 years, we've grown so fast alone. Just alone, the past 10 years, we've grown so quickly as a society. Imagine the next 10 years. That's what he said. So you'll be left behind, essentially be left behind if you don't
figure it out.
And the gospel will be left behind, and its effectiveness in propagating the gospel through podcasts, through YouTube, through the online presence needs to go with it. We need to step up. Every age, every society, every generation has that challenge of bringing the gospel to the context of the day.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, every kind of different generation has its own challenge.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And what we need to recognize is, Akita, your reflection on the... So we've gone through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. He was betrayed.
Yeah.
He instituted the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the Last Supper 2 days ago. Now, specifically, we're looking at his death. And we discussed that with Robert Martek. We're here to discuss the resurrection. You're here to bring...
Beautiful.
You're like a sunshine.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. And bringing the resurrection to reflect on how he went through passion, death of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's very sentimental. During the context of COVID-19, everyone's isolated in their homes. They're participating live and their faith has been challenged. to really look inwards at myself. God has said, look, this year I'm going to take away the mask from you. I want you to look at your
intentions. And it's hit us hard. It's hit us so hard.
Yeah.
It's hit me hard.
It's hit us hard. But then at the same time, the mask is a gift.
Mm.
We can't really look at it as, oh, we have an entitlement to go to mass.
The Eucharist is a gift.
Definitely.
You know, it's something that we've probably taken for granted at some point of our lives.
Yeah.
But
as practicing Catholics who attend mass regularly, and especially those who attend maybe what we call the biannual Catholics once a year.
The Easter Christmas ones.
And I categorize other Catholics that just come for 59 minutes a week on Sunday and not really interacting, not really living their faith, but just on the verge of even leaving and not coming back to Sunday Mass. I call them 59 Catholics.
Mm.
Catholic 59. 59 minutes a week, and then, you know, that their faith needs to be reinvigorated. So for all these three categories of people, nobody's better than the other, especially others
practicing
almost daily Mass going Catholics. We look at ourselves and we can sometimes make the Mass a habit.
Mm.
And we can just go and we have an entitlement to go every day.
It becomes robotic even for us sometimes.
So I think what our Lord's trying to remind us is that we need to actually, hold on a second.
I think he's just trying to remind
us. Look into ourselves and prepare ourselves, purify our intentions, purify our minds before we come back to church.
I think he's telling us. And society in general. That we need him more than he needs us.
Exactly.
And it's so obvious. Like, you know, you don't go to church because, oh, nah, I don't feel like it. I'm had a big night last night. Yeah. You know, maybe I'll go later if I feel like it. But really, it's so much more than that. It's a true invitation to be in communion with him. And communion, if you break it down, it's a common union between you and our Lord.
Communion.
And it's a connection between you to him. That's your bridge on how to get to heaven. When you think of it like that, what's going to make you think that it's not important?
Yep.
You know?
Definitely. And I think it's very sentimental. You see a lot of people working up that, hey, look, as Father John Rizzo, our exorcist here on the Catholic Toolbox, we always like to have an exorcist to get the demons away and give us insight spiritually into the world of the demonic. We often forget about the presence of evil and the devil. And the devil's working around us 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
He's stepping up his game on COVID-19.
Yes.
He's recharging
for
how future's coming through. We need to be recharging on the other side. If we're not working, we're not constantly planning our attack when we come out of this, we're going to get eaten alive, very simply.
100%.
So what in my discussions with Father John Rizzo here on the Catholic Toolbox and privately, he said that we really do need to step up our prayer life and that we need to be aware of evil and possibly the fact that, hey, people could possibly die from this disease. It could be you, it could be I. We never know.
Mm.
So
that's why you got to be ready. You got to be ready.
Exactly. And this has nudged people in the backside a little bit to really think about, hey, look, I could die from this.
Yeah.
Old and young. Yeah. And I need to really get myself right with God. I need to really pray. I need to be in the state of grace and go back to confession. And we just have so many people going back to confession at the moment, people wanting confession. I get emails and texts here on the Catholic Toolbox all the time and personally as well. Everybody wants to go back to confession, pray, adoration. Everybody wants that private mass.
Mm.
Possibly that
everyone
they
wants
can
to get in.
Legitimately.
Now that they
attend.
Can't get in.
Exactly. So it's sort of like the doors are shut and our Lord is purifying us to say that we need to step back, look at it, purify our intentions, work on our personal prayer. Instead of just liturgical prayer where we just pray with the community, look at ourselves, whether we haven't been back to the church for 10, 15 years, 5 years, 3 years, or you've left the church and you come back. What better than, you know, a life-threatening... Definitely, it's definitely not a good thing. It's an unfortunate circumstance.
It's not,
and we encourage people to stay safe.
Come out of it. And I think that's genuinely why sometimes our Lord lets things like this happen.
Exactly,
you know,
that's definitely
because
true.
Because sometimes bad things do need to happen in order for good things to come out of it, better things to come out of it.
Definitely, and I think coming out of this, so we have this COVID-19 kicking us in the butt side, shut out of masses. We have to look at things live. It's not the same. It's definitely not the same.
No,
it's definitely more convenient. It's relaxing. I'm in my room with my Neela watching the Mass live.
You can wear slippers.
Don't have to go anywhere. Yeah, I was wearing my slippers. It's definitely very relaxing.
Definitely.
Yeah, you don't have to go out. You know, there's no obligation to visit people.
It's not the same.
Some of my friends are enjoying this.
I really miss those wooden pews that hurt my knees when I have to kneel too much. You know, I know you have a Neela. I don't. but man, I miss being able to step inside a church freely. And, you know, I just feel like part of that freedom has been taken away.
And, definitely. And look, what we have to actually understand is that we are really this time for purification. This is our time to recharge, be at home. Sure, we can't access the Mass. We're in the same situations as the Jewish people today who no longer have the sacrifices. And in the Jewish people in ancient Israel who were in exile, never had the ability to offer sacrifice to God. We can't access the Mass. What is our, as we've spoken about on the Catholic Toolbox, what is the next highest prayer from the Church from the Mass? You know?
Remind me, George.
The Liturgy of the Hours. This is a time to possibly take up the divine, what's known as the Divine Office or the Liturgy of the Hours. Yes. The morning, evening, night prayer. There's about 6 prayers. Usually monastics, monks do all of it, but we encourage as lay people.
I highly recommend it, especially if you're losing track of the days and you don't know what time it is. I work from home, so I have to keep track of that time. But if you don't have anything to do, I highly recommend the Divine Office.
The Divine Office, which is the Liturgy of the Hours. You can what apps these days have probably worked for you?
One of the ones that I like to use is called Laudate.
Laudate, yep. I access that personally as
well.
And
I think I got it for free. You just have to have a stable internet connection. But, you know, if you're going to be traveling, which I probably don't think you will be, like I meant on a plane... you don't have internet access. I think you can use you can use morning and evening prayer as a bare minimum. Although I did have trouble with that when I used to use it because I'm like, well, which one do I do? It's like I left this place and it was like Saturday and now I'm like flying in and it's like Sunday.
Yeah, based on the time. It can be tricky there and then. But yeah, you can download it on what's another app?
One.
It says Laudate.
Laudate
is probably the best app.
Yeah, it's probably the only one that I know.
Bit of a good review, 5-star review for their updates, the quality of the app. It's very simple to navigate.
Yeah.
So you can also get a copy of the Breviary, which is just the physical book copy. It contains, so the Divine Office is usually, let's say, for instance, morning prayer, has a little hymn, some antiphons, some psalms, a little reading, intercessions, and the closing. And a closing prayer. Usually that's the second highest prayer of the church from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. It's the time to really get familiar with that. And also our mental prayer as well. But let's now go into the 3 practical tools. What do you recommend, Akita, that we can take action? I think we've really jumped into the first possibly practical tool. Let's elaborate a bit more about that.
Sure.
So we don't have access to the Mass physically. This is a time possibly our Lord wants us to connect with Him on a personal level.
Mm.
To say... haven't spoken in a while.
Yeah.
Sure, you've been to Mass. But how about some mental prayer, some personal prayer, some things that I do on my own without the community watching me or seeing me or being part of a community? And that's the Liturgy of the Hours.
Yeah, Liturgy of the Hours. I mean, it starts at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can go as hardcore as that. Or you can...
There's about 6 prayers. There's morning, mid-morning, midday, afternoon, and 6 p.m. is...
There's there's an
invitatory. You have the app there.
I do have it. There's an invitatory, which is at dawn or 3 a.m.
Yeah. Morning, or when you wake up for the average Joe. Yeah. Morning, usually the monastics
morning prayer,
do that.
Which is Lauds at 6 a.m. Mid-morning, which is Terce, 9 a.m. Midday is Sexta at 12 p.m.
These are Latin terms, Sexta.
Afternoon is Non at 3 p.m. Evening prayer is commonly known as Vespers. And night prayer is commonly known as Compline, which is for 9 p.m.
Exactly. And this is the prayer...
That's the whole day.
Exactly. So that covers the Liturgy of the Hours. And the origin of that was based in ancient Israel during the Babylonian exile. During the Babylonian exile, the people of Israel never had access to the temple, to offer sacrifice at the temple. So they devised prayer, which was split up during the day, to sanctify the hours constantly. And it was very important to do that. So your priests have to pray it. Usually priests, nuns, anyone in the hierarchy of the church has to pray it in a religious order, and even third orders have to pray it. And the universal church per Paul VI invited us to, for the universal church, us laity, to engage in the second highest prayer of the church, which is the divine office or liturgy of the hours. According to the rite that which you practice, you could be the Latin rite, the Maronite, the Coptic, the Ukrainian rite, the other Byzantine rites. They all have their different form of the liturgy of the hours, but it's all the same. And it's similar to the Muslims and the Jews as well. They pray five times a day. Why? Because it's morning prayer, mid-morning. So it's that same concept. We all have that common concept from ancient Israel that we have different times of the day that we have to pray at. And
So back in the day, like monks and that, they never actually had books because books were expensive. So they used to memorize the Psalms and they would sing that. So if you thought it, if you think about it, you would like memorize like half the Bible.
Exactly.
Basically, and sing it.
Well, that's how I've memorized most of the Psalms, especially from the divine office. So it's part of the Bible. I don't really read outside during my scripture reading because I read it all the time and I pray all the time during the divine office, morning, evening, and night prayer.
Yeah.
I pray the three times. So you can pick.
Well, it's the same as like, if you sing for Mass, well, I sing for the Latin Mass.
So the traditional Latin Mass, which is also the...
A bit of a different format where it's only like a 1 year thing instead of a 3 year
cycle of...
The cycle.
Yeah, Psalms, right?
Perfect.
Yeah.
And it's the same as like the music that you would sing, like the gradual, petri, introit.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. It kind of revolves all around 1 year. And it's similar to the Divine Office where... Yep. It kind of revolves around that time.
Definitely. And I think it's very important to actually understand the fact of the matter is that spiritual life revolves around our personal relationship with Jesus. Now, that's fostered through going to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Divine Office, Liturgy of the Hours, and then we have a second practical tool, possibly, I believe, could be work on your mental prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Practical tip number two. So, mental prayer. What is mental prayer, Akita?
It's
where you go mental during prayer.
I hope not.
Sometimes you do.
Oh goodness. I hope that's not the stage that you get to, but it is kind of it's prayer and you connect it through your mental prayer. I don't know how to describe it.
So allow me to describe it in the way some very holy people have explained it to me. Not go on. Through my own explanation. Mental prayer is basically where we speak to Jesus as if he's our friend. So Jesus is treating a lot, is with me as a guest. The way I'm speaking to you is the way we need to speak to our Lord personally about our day, how we're going. Lord, I just want to get through this report at work. So it's a conversation with Jesus.
Yeah, that's more simple than I thought you were going to explain it. I love that.
I was just going to say that it's actually not simple. It's not easy. Explain it nicely like it's an easy conversation, but it's very hard.
The explanation is simple, but the concept is not going to be easy as the explanation.
Definitely. So, it's definitely not easy to... if you haven't really done it, you don't really... It's like an exercise, you know. First time you work out and you haven't worked out in a year or two, you're getting killed. Your knees, your legs, everything. Especially when I don't do leg day for a while. It kills me. It's been a while. Yeah, I'm confessing something here. So, look, I think it's very important to understand that mental prayer is best done through starting small and building it up. So, for instance, people think, oh, yeah, I can do 30 minutes of mental prayer. I thought that many years ago. I tried it. Mate, you can't sit down and then your mind goes from one place to the other because you can't physically see Jesus in the human format or the human form that he was 2,000 years ago and conversate with him like I'm conversating with you here right across me at 1.2 meters away. 1.5 meters away, double check. So that's why it's very, very important for us to start small, maybe 2 minutes a day, then build 1 minute each day.
You got to keep it consistent. It's like a workout. You got to like get stronger and stronger with it.
Start with an opening prayer and closing a closing prayer. So start off and then speak to the Lord. Lord, I had a pretty bad day today and this person annoyed me at work. Help me, Lord. And start to conversate a little bit. Start with two minutes.
This is where I find that the divine liturgies actually help with mental prayer.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting take.
Because when you're praying the divine liturgies, you're very focused on scripture.
Yeah.
But then my mind wanders. It's not wandering as if like about something else, it's all about like, oh, talking to God about this. It's like, oh wow, that's actually really relevant to me right now, God. So I don't know if I'm doing it wrong, am I praying wrong?
No, but... definitely the mass speaks to us in different ways. Like, but... for instance, I get thoughts during mass that, you know, came to me as a blessing.
Yeah,
during the mass, different times, maybe a good distraction, but
yeah,
the mass is supposed to speak to us personally as well. So yeah, that's where I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah, okay, you get it.
So that's actually a good thing, because the mass is not just a dead ritual, it's an alive ritual.
Yeah,
in your life, it's speaking to you on that personal level. That's the level we have to get to. But I believe what our Lord's speaking to us here during this crisis, during this pandemic, is, hey, I want you to work out, get fitter, relationship with me, and possibly even your relationship with your family, because everyone's stuck at home.
That's so true.
You're forced to eat, celebrate with your family, can't go out. It's reuniting people as a family, the domestic church, in a time that we need to be united.
It really is.
And it's helping people not take the mass for granted and take the community for granted.
I really hope that we can grow stronger out of this pandemic. You know, spiritually and physically, mentally.
Definitely. It's all about your attitude, I think. So let's just take a bit of a break to speak about, if you enjoy listening to The Catholic Toolbox, why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com. That is thecatholictoolbox, or one word, @gmail.com. To book your next speaking event or consultation. Disclaimer, obviously, after the pandemic is over. So I just also wanted to take the time to announce this week's free giveaway, which will go to the first person to email us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com with your feedback regarding this exclusive episode during Holy Week. So your free giveaway will be the Catholic Toolbox mug, and we'll personally ship that out to you. So email, be the first to email us with your feedback, and we'll ship you out a free mug to go with that. So for those men wanting to make their rite of passage into manhood, or if you are a woman and want to help your fellow spouse, father, brother, friend, or whoever it may be, subscribe to my men's podcast, which I also run exclusively for men and for women as well that want to learn about how to help and inspire other men, but really goes into just manly topics. We take the Catholic Toolbox, we take off the Catholic label, and we help men of all religions and bring everybody in. Possibly, hopefully, we can evangelize as much as possible through the cause of helping men. But it's available on the Apple iTunes, Android, and all other platforms, where I'll personally walk you through your journey to become and grow as a man that you're called to be. So check out our website and subscribe to the weekly podcast alert on www.therightofmanhood.com. So that is TheRight, R-I-T, not right. So TheRight of manhood.com for more information. So now we don't have an open line anymore, because it's an exclusive episode this week. So Kita, let's now finalize with and wrap up with our third practical tool, people to really resurrect. We want to take our listeners not just to use this as a time of suffering and burden, but we want to help people make the most of it so they come resurrected from this pandemic. We want people to die with Christ. All things with Cardinal Pell, what's happening, the pandemic, bushfires, everything. It's very interesting past 6 months.
Yeah.
I want to help people use this pandemic and staying at home, regurgitating their faith through the divine office of mental prayer, to eventually resurrect from this. Like a phoenix. The phoenix resurrects. We want people to resurrect just like our Lord. So we're literally in a tomb in our homes, possibly.
We are. It really feels like that.
We can see that we're dying to our worldly pleasures, that, hey, sorry, I can't go to my favorite restaurant this weekend. I'll have to make use with something else, just like the third world. But how can people, on a third practical tool, from your view, your experience, resurrect from this?
That's a hard question, but a good one. For me, it would be to ensure that you have a routine of your own prayer life. So,
plan of life, as I might call it?
Kind of. For me, it's a daily thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, because in my usual days, when I used to go to work in the city, I would visit the church before I would start work, and now I can't do that anymore. So
you don't have to travel, isn't it? Yeah, aren't you lucky?
Now I can just roll out of bed and, you know, start work. But you got to have a routine, and you got to make sure that you keep up with that to make sure that you're still keeping yourself in check. And for me, that means, you know, getting up, you know, an hour and a half earlier for work, doing a workout at home, And then
having an attack plan, morning and evening routine. And part of that include obviously have a routine for
your prayer life. Of course, prayer life. You know, with the morning, wake up and do my morning
prayer. Well, they're interconnected. Prayer and your personal life. Yes. I mean, if you sleep in all the time, how are you going to have an ordered prayer life?
No, you can't do that. Well, that's why I wake up early, because I have to get up early, make sure I get to lie in bed a bit and pray. And then at lunchtime when I take my lunch break, I will cook my lunch or heat something up that's already been cooked. And then after that, I will do my rosary. So you got to make sure that you actually hit off, like tick these things off every single day.
Yep,
definitely. To make sure that you're getting stuff done. And then when it's a Sunday, you know, live stream a mass, because it's the only way that we can do that these days.
I mean, do it daily as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's live stream
masses. I mean, there's live stream masses by the Pope. Exactly. So you can join Rome in hearing mass.
See, what I prefer to do personally is tune in live with my own parish, because I have that physical connection to going to mass there every day.
Mm.
And I think it's good for me to just watch it, because I mean, I've only gone a handful of times mass in Rome. I find it helps me to just watch where I usually go.
That's just an option if it's like, you know,
whatever works for you. I mean, people have to figure it out. Yeah. For themselves. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, definitely. And no, I think it's very helpful during this time, and I believe we will come out of this. It's all about your mindset. If you have the right mindset that our Lord has a purpose for this pandemic and he wants us to purify our souls. So let's go over the three practical tools. Number one, take up the Liturgy of the Hours, the Divine Office. Download Laudate app or get a physical copy of the Breviary or look it up. Just Google it. I mean, people don't struggle Googling things. Get a copy of the Divine
Liturgy. Now's the time to Google, if there's been a time to Google.
If there's any Eastern Catholics who are listening here, Eastern Catholics listening here, it may be called the Liturgy of the Hours. So each rite of the church has, in each tradition has its own Liturgy of the Hours or Divine Office. So let's, the second practical tool is work on your mental prayer. So start with 3 minutes, maybe 2-3 minutes of contemplating with our Lord daily. And trust me, that will occupy you.
Yes.
Or speaking uniquely to our Lord. I best do it by sticking a photo of the Divine Mercy of our Lord and speak to him personally as if he's there physically. And remember that he's walking by your side, to your left, to your right during the course of the day. Third practical tool.
Have a routine.
So,
and incorporate a prayer life in that routine. And it, you know, I feel like it really ties in with the other tools that we have had this week, where you have the Divine Liturgy, which is timed, and that becomes a routine if you allow it. In your life.
Fits into that is the Liturgy of the Hours, going back to the first practical tool.
That's what I'm saying.
Because that's the whole idea why the people of Israel in exile devised this whole prayer system where we pray in the morning, pray at midday, pray at night, just to really keep their day ordered. So if you think about it, you're praying 7-8 a.m. whenever you wake up, you pray your morning prayer. Mm. And 3 hours later, 4 hours, you could be praying the midday prayer.
Yeah.
If you choose to, and then in the evening, you come back, you're like, Vespers. There you go. I know the evening has started by praying at 5 o'clock, evening prayer, Vespers.
Yeah.
Night prayer, about to sleep, boom, night prayer. Yeah. If you want to do more than those three or less, you can slowly work it in. I mean, but you have to sit down, as you say, in the third practical tool. You have to sit down and actually grab a diary, grab a notepad, devise your day from start to finish based on time. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá calls it the plan of life, to really have a plan. If you're going to live your life according to Christ and have a good ordered life in your secular profession, your real world and your prayer life, and be well-rounded as a Catholic, and we love to make well-rounded Catholics here on the Catholic Toolbox.
That's right. You can't let a pandemic turn your mind into mush at this time.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's why all of this that we have advised is kind of a little bit more quite important, because it allows you to have some structure and some form, which will allow you to grow as a person.
Exactly. I mean, people, this is the first world speaking here. People, let's say in other third world countries, in Africa, in different parts of India, I mean, heard they're laughing at us. Like, mate, we go through this every day. We can't go eat every week expensive, and we can't get Uber Eats every week. We can't afford it.
Mm.
You know, we have to stay in our homes. What's so hard about that? It really just shows that these aren't necessities.
That's right.
As long as you have your family, those your domestic home, or the people that you live with.
The things that we used to have, that we used to take for granted, are luxuries. And now we understand that. We understand that our lives are actually very blessed, and that we can afford this kind of lifestyle. And now that it's been taken away from us.
But we don't need it. It's not an essential.
Now that it's been taken away from us, we realize
how fortunate we really were and how fortunate we used to be able to access things like that.
And that is absolutely amazing. So thank you for keeping us with the tools this week, Akita Sanchez.
Thanks, George. And it's been a blessing that I can record with you in your studio. In your domestic studio. Yeah.
Definitely. And now it's time to put them into action. You're listening to Catholic Toolbox. Why not consider emailing us at thecatholictoolbox@gmail.com to book your next speaking event or consultation, obviously, after the pandemic. But email us here now and we'll arrange a time after it is possible. Definitely. Or we can arrange a consultation via Zoom, or we can arrange a speaking event via Zoom. I'm absolutely available here, or any of our team here at the Catholic Toolbox. If you'd like to gain any Catholic Toolbox gear or merchandise to support us, especially during this time, our online store is at spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox, not The Rite of Manhood. We also have a The Rite of Manhood one as well. So it's spreadshirt.com/thecatholictoolbox, or click the link on the Facebook of the Voice of Charity Australia. We have the link available there. So part of all your purchases will go towards supporting the Voice of Charity Radio Network, which airs us, and also Cradio, which also airs our program here, apart from the podcast. But though we're here today, just recording a podcast. Be sure to subscribe and download the Catholic Toolbox podcast to listen to any of our episodes, available on the Apple iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, any platform you have. Type in The Catholic Toolbox, three words, and you will see our crest available there. Red, blue, black. We have several colors in there. The Art of Practical Catholicism. So, and rewatch any of our live episodes on our YouTube channel. Thank you for tuning in or listening to The Catholic Toolbox, The Art of Practical Catholicism. I'm your host and founder, George Manassa. Till next week, God bless, stay safe, take action.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. In this era of grave spiritual crisis, it is not enough to simply know about your Catholic faith. That is why we need a Catholic toolbox to equip us with the practical skills necessary to live our Catholic faith to reach our ultimate goal, which is heaven for all eternity. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. for the Catholic Toolbox as we hand you the tools to go forth, live the faith, and change our modern world today. Live on the Voice of Charity.